Granville Street, at least the part of it that is within the downtown area, was redesigned in 1974, and it was supposed to reflect Vancouver's unique identity, character, and sense of place, according to Heritage Vancouver. The street, unfortunately, is a mishmash of planning that over the decades didn't always work as well as it was hoped for. And let's face it, the street is supposed to be a pedestrian mall where people want to be, where they want to eat, shop, and be entertained in a lively, safe, and friendly space. One element of a pedestrian mall is, well, to be pedestrian. And Granville Street is kind of pedestrian and kind of not. It's really a transportation corridor that begrudgingly accommodates foot traffic and cyclists, along with hundreds of buses and taxis and police cars and emergency vehicles. In other words, it's not even close to a true pedestrian mall. The Downtown Vancouver Business Improvement Association says it's sort of working, but it needs adjustments, and then it could be fantastic. We did it in 2010 for the Olympics, and it was great. So let's reimagine it again. So to that end, they hired Resonance Consultancy to reimagine Granville Street. And the company, a Vancouver success story, has a team that has worked on huge international projects for organizations that sought to and accomplished stunning upgrades and turnarounds around the globe. I invited Chris Fair, the CEO, and the 2013 Place brand thought leader to join me for a conversation that matters about reimagining Granville Street. Chris, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Granville Street is rather an interesting beast, isn't it? And maybe that's the best way to start to describe it. How do you view the current iteration of Granville Street?
Well, as you said, it's a bit of a mishmash and has lost a little bit of its identity and a little bit of its way. In many ways, since 2010, you know, Vancouver's grown up a lot around it, but Granville Street itself has maybe declined or gone backwards a little bit during that time. So you have an interesting juxtaposition of the city rising and growing, while the main thoroughfare and the heartbeat of the city has weakened a little bit over the last 10 years.
Is it the fact that it is not a pedestrian, like truly a pedestrian mall, part of what is standing in the way of its potential?
I don't think whether it's pedestrian or not pedestrian is the crux of the issue. There are some great pedestrian famous streets like Las Ramblas in Barcelona, and those have their own issues in and of themselves. So, you know, I don't think it's as simple as saying should it be pedestrian or not pedestrian. It's really more about the uses and the activities that happens around the street than what kind of traffic we have on the street itself that will drive its success.
Well, let's talk about what does that ideal mix have to look like for it to be that vibrant city center that people want to come into the town, into town to be a part of?
Yeah, it sounds simple to say mixed use, and it's more complicated than that. But historically, as we think about neighborhoods and districts, we really try and identify them with a mono use. You know, these neighborhoods are for living and residential. The Central Business District is for work, and Granville Street is for entertainment. And the reality, and we've learned this more in the last year through the pandemic than ever before, is that these kind of mono-use designations for districts and neighborhoods, you know, doesn't work, and that these places prove not to be that resilient, and that we need a mix of uses that bring people day and night, and that the idea of just having districts or streets dedicated to nightlife not only doesn't work in Vancouver, it doesn't work anywhere in this anymore.
Okay, how do you then start to turn this around? Because this is an issue that successive councils have grappled with. Then you've got, you know, individual business people, retailers, the public. How do you then start to change that mix so that you can make it more attractive and more vibrant?
I think the first starts with policy. You know, in terms of what is this street zoned for, what types of uses are complementary to one another. It doesn't make sense to put a whole bunch of residential next to nightclubs and concert venues. So we have to think about what types of uses complement one another. You know, office might be one of those things that during the day makes sense that doesn't conflict with nightlife at night. But then there's also thinking about, you know, what is nightlife today, and is it more restaurants? Is it different types of leisure activities and entertainment venues? So it's a little bit of a rethinking of what entertainment means, first of all, and then what types of uses could complement that those activities to create a district or an area that maybe not 24/7, but certainly 16 hours a day of activity and use.
You know, when we take a look, as you're speaking, I think about Granville Street. It's, you know, it's a fairly long mall. You go right down to almost the waterfront, Hastings and Granville up to Davie, and you've got different zones. So, you know, you talked about the office towers and whatnot. Well, you more to the north, during the daytime, it's fairly vibrant, but you go there at 9 o'clock at night, there's nothing. And it's almost the reverse at the other end of Granville Street. How do we get that to work, you know, in harmony so that there is mixed use on both ends at multiple hours during the day?
Well, I think there are some historical assets and we want to preserve those, but we have to find that balance in from a policy perspective because, you know, nothing is going to happen or not much is going to happen if we just use the built and the buildings that we have today. That there is going to have to be some movement towards redevelopment that allows for adaptation and more density of whatever types of uses those are to create, you know, more footfall so that the businesses that are there can not only survive but thrive. So I think that starts with policy. The second piece is really then thinking around, you know, placemaking of how do we beautify the physical environment in terms of making it friendly to pedestrians, and that might be to your point. You know, do we think about having more pedestrian access, or are there certain times that we close the street for street festivals and find some other types of uses? And then the third piece, when you think about going from policy into placemaking, the most important is then the programming of how do we support that? And that's really where the Downtown Vancouver BIA can play a strong role in terms of how do we activate these spaces, because all the policy in the world and all the placemaking in terms of benches and planters and banners that we put up won't really change the activity on the street unless it's supported by programming and thinking about how do we create this as a place where Vancouver comes together, not just for a concert, but for different types of festivals, events throughout the year.
You talk about policy making, and I think going right back to the very beginning of the mall, the Granville Mall, when then Mayor Art Phillips envisioned it, he saw it as a pedestrian mall. So he asked council, but council doesn't agree with him. And there's always these, you know, different interests within the decision-making process that say, yes, no, maybe we'll find something that might be, a combination of ideas, and then we wind up with this mishmash that we currently have. How do we start to create that policy so that we can get multiple groups to rally behind it and support it?
I think it starts rather than looking at sort of the usage on the street with the usage of the buildings around it in terms of, you know, looking at heights. You know, are we prepared to give up some of the sunlight on the street in order to allow for more density? That all of those questions in terms of what needs are there within the city today? You know, we might have said a year ago, we need more office. Well, do we need more office 12 months later? Maybe that isn't the right answer versus looking at things like hotels or other types of complementary uses. So I think it's, you know, starts with what are the land use economics within downtown Vancouver? What types of buildings and uses do we need more of in a post-COVID city than we might have had in the past? And which of those are appropriate to put on Granville Street? If we can figure out, you know, the right combination of uses from a built environment perspective, then we can look at what happens on the street from mobility as it relates to, you know, do we have cars, do we not have cars, do we widen the sidewalks, how do we use those sidewalk spaces in terms of patios and other types of activations. But I really do think it has to start with how do we create a business case for the street, which starts with the built environment that lines it, not the street itself.
Mm-hmm. And is that business case different block by block, considering the length and scope of Granville Street?
Yeah, I don't think it's on a homogenous one size, you know, fits all solution. And I think this also is an opportunity as we look at the city's plans for the bridge and removing some of the lanes and turning that into some park space, widening lanes for pedestrians and sidewalks. Let's not let that be an island either, right? That we don't end up with this beautiful bridge that's fun to walk on, but you have this expanse, you know, when you get to between the Davie Street, where you don't really want to be before you get to a block that is maybe okay, before you get to, okay, now you have high-end shopping and a whole different experience. So how does that thread together from the bridge all the way down to Waterfront Station?
Yeah, so how do you then start to create what you would say, are reasonable timelines in being able to make this kind of change?
And no change like this happens, you know, overnight. You know, I think we're looking at where do we want to be 10, 15 years from now, and how do we incrementally get there, you know, and it'll be project by project, block by block, and it won't be a wholesale change, you know, overnight. But that policy needs to be created to understand this is what we're willing, these are the trade-offs we're willing to make in order to arrive at some preferred future. I think what can happen is choosing to do nothing and saying, okay, the policy is fixed, the heights and the density of the building are fixed. That just leads to more of the same or worse. And there's, I don't see an alternative future that leads to something better with the zoning and the density and the requirements that are in place today.
So there has to be a willingness to change that zoning.
Yeah, and that, that starts with what are we willing to give up
right.
to be able to make, you know, just trying to say, let's take, we want to create the same, keep the buildings that we have, the same heights, we're, you know, all of those things. Can we use them differently? Yes, we can do some cosmetic improvements, but that's not actually changing the economics and the business case for the street. And
right.
without that, it's not likely to improve or change in a better way over time.
Hmm. So in your report, reimagining Granville Street that was commissioned by the Downtown Vancouver Improvement Business Association, you had, you know, what are the strengths or the pluses for Granville Street, and then some, what are some of the drawbacks? Because I don't want to be entirely negative. What are some of the strengths about Granville Street right now that we can say we can build upon that?
I think the street obviously has a brand recognition, right? The people that have been to Vancouver recognize Granville Street, they recognize Granville Island. You know, these are kind of icons within the city. So we have that, you know, working for us. We also have some, you know, amazing history as it relates to live music, and the stories of Vancouver have been written on that street. So there are great assets to work with there. We're not inventing something out of scratch. It's a question of, rather than just trying to preserve that in a time capsule and letting it decay over time, how do we use that as a springboard towards a brighter future?
Are there certain sort of buildings or structures or collections of buildings that you say, these are positive areas already, and it's not going to take that much for us to be able to enhance what's there?
Yeah, I think when you look at like the Commodore, and we've been to concerts and the different venues that we have, you know, on the street, and probably, you know, a lot of memories. And there's some, you know, interesting proposals in front of council now in terms of a whole adaptation of that block that for some will look like, you know, a radical transformation of increasing the density on that block. But, you know, I think whether that's exactly the right plan or not, it's conceptually the right direction of looking at, let's preserve the great assets that we have on the first and second floors of these buildings, and look at how we add density above them to create more economic activity, more people on the streets that will support a new generation and new types of businesses and activities that will be the ones that are going to write the next chapter of Granville Street's story.
I have to ask this because I keep wondering why, when we live in a rainforest and if we want to have people out wandering around in the square, why don't we create more opportunities to shelter ourselves against the rain that are you know, in place structures? Is that a reasonable idea, or am I, you know, only dreaming in technicolor?
Yeah, no, I think as it relates to, you know, we do live in a rainy environment, and there are, you see, you know, buildings that have adapted around the street, and, you know, how do we do that in a cohesive way to kind of create a corridor is an interesting idea, and I think there's definitely opportunity there to think about how that could be imagined.
You also talk about some of the challenges. What are the most significant ones that you think that we need to address that are going to allow us to move in the direction I think that everybody would like to see Granville Street realize?
Well, obviously there's a lot of attachment to the heritage, you know, of the street and, you know, historical buildings. And I think we have to find that balance of, you know, how do we preserve that but not preserve it necessarily in its entirety. So I think that is one of the challenges. And that's a challenge not just in Vancouver, but in any city when you're dealing with heritage. And we don't want to just knock down all of our old buildings that we do want to maintain and keep our history. But I think there's a way to do that, to be sensitive to that. And in fact, you know, with all of the neon and everything else that we have on that street, maybe we should be dialing some of that up to really help build the identity of the street. So it's not to say that we should get rid of the old.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because at one time they said, no, we got to dial that down.
Yeah.
And yet it is one of those landmark features about Granville Street, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I look at, and Nashville did a great job and taking that and dialing it up, right? Like, how do you take some of these things and, they've now created a street that's quite vibrant and it's next to the convention center and the sports arena and it has offices behind it. And there are examples out there that cities have, maintained their heritage and actually dialed it up in certain ways while also changing the uses around those buildings to be able to create strong, vital economy around that street.
And so when they do that, does that inject energy onto the street? Because, you can go out on some of those streets in different cities and you go, wow, it feels great just being here. I feel the vibe on the street. And wouldn't it be fantastic if we had that on Granville Street?
Yeah, and I think the question or the challenge is to make sure that do you feel that vibe at 11 o'clock in the morning as you do at 11 o'clock, at night. And that would really be the success or the proof of success would be if we could do that, where you felt like this is a place that was active and maybe that vibe is a little bit different at 11 a.m. than 11 p.m., but it can't be just one. Really, it needs to be both.
Right. And so we do have different vibes at 11 a.m. versus 11 p.m. on the street, but the 11 p.m. vibe is so different that I think that the people at 11 a.m. are going, I'm not going there. Because they're not going to feel comfortable. But is there a way that we can create this blend so that both groups can find something that they can get at different times of the day and to create more vibrancy?
Yeah, and that is the challenge, and it will be different audiences. And I think that is one of the issues right now is that it's kind of going back to that idea of a mono-use, mono-purpose, that Granville Street is only viewed as a place for nightlife, and if I'm not going to a nightclub or a concert, it's not a place for me. And in fact, I might think the opposite of that, and that it's not a place to take my kids, or it's not family friendly because I know it only as one thing.
Right.
So we have to evolve that identity, and that has to be part of the goal of, reimagining and of planning of that street to create those opportunities where it would be welcoming for, a family and with kids to maybe go, bowling and go to the lanes during the day and go out for dinner or go to a movie. And then maybe it's a different crowd that's coming later at night for other reasons.
So, Downtown Vancouver Improvement Business Association got behind Alley-Oop and Acree's Alley. Do we need more of that kind of space that allows people to come in and have a different and somewhat interactive experience?
Yeah, I think those were great initiatives. In fact, our office sits right in front of the Alley-Oop laneway, so quite familiar with it.
Which was made famous in that Korean pop song, wasn't
exactly.
it? It was like hugely famous.
So it was hundreds of thousands and probably over millions of views now.
Yeah, and that kind of thing can bring attention because it now exists as a place.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the key is making sure that those places, as I said earlier, have programming to go with them, that just paint on the walls and making beautiful spaces. It's really what are the mechanisms to sustain some ongoing events and programs, and the Downtown Vancouver BIA was doing that up until COVID, and hopefully we'll be able to restore a lot of those activities and different events in those spaces in the near future.
Well, that goes back to your point about saying you can't just build the place. You have to have an organization that's say, okay, we're going to inject opportunities for people to come together in that space and create meaning around it. How important is that?
It's everything. I mean, you can have all the policy, we can create the best plan, we can do the placemaking and, like I said, beautify the street, but, without some programming to support that in terms of what are the reasons that are going to bring me back into the street or back downtown is going to be more important than ever, especially as you kind of think about the recovery of downtown. We're fortunate here in Vancouver that we have a very large, an unusually large residential population. So our downtown has not been as affected as some others. It's been obviously very adversely affected, but not to the extent of like a London or a midtown Manhattan because we have people that live here.
But we'll have just exiting at the end of the business day, right?
Yeah. So we have that going for us already. Yep. There is an active audience of people that live here. But we are going to need to bring, if we presume that there are going to be fewer people coming to work in our office buildings, or maybe we'll still need the same number of office buildings, but maybe people are only coming to work 3 or 4 days a week, that's a lot less footfall to support shops, restaurants, and activities. So that idea about creating programming, events, festivals that will bring people to come downtown as a destination to visit is going to become important to replace that deficit for the people that are coming downtown to work.
Right. Okay, crystal ball time for you right now. Can we do it? Can we make Granville Street into something that, you know, is going to bring people from around the world to say, I want to go there, the same way that you do when there are other cities. You go, I want to go experience that.
Yeah, I think we will. I think it's a question of time, you know, in terms of, you know, how long does it take? You know, as I said at the beginning, Vancouver has grown up around Granville Street. So, you know, been so many amazing additions and improvements to the way we move around our downtown, to the buildings that have been built, residences, office towers, and yet not much has happened on this street. And it won't last forever, that street can't be ignored forever. It'll eventually transform. It's a question of whether it gets worse before it gets better, or whether we take action now to improve it in the near future and get that journey started.
Yeah, as I just think about sort of like the elements that are involved, you've got tourism, you've got the restaurant business, you've got retail, you've got, you know, commercial, business offices, and on and on and on. So knitting that all together becomes it feels like it's a delicate balance to make sure that you're not offsetting the interests of one group over the next and then defeating your purposes.
Yeah, there's always, in transformation of cities, there are always different stakeholders and that all have different desires and wishes, and we won't be able to make everyone happy, but hopefully we can come to a good compromise. And as I said earlier, that the one decision we can't make is to do nothing and then leave things just as they are and hope that they'll change on their own or through market forces. That, you know, it's clear that policy hasn't worked, and
right,
that we need to take some actions and make some interventions to make anything happen.
Yeah, because a decision to do nothing is still a decision.
Indeed.
and that would be an unfortunate one. Well, thank you for coming in and being the first guest in this series of interviews that we're going to have about Granville Street and how we can envision its future and hopefully build towards the kind of potential that I think all of us here in Vancouver would really like to see that street realized.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.